This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us, so what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
A second free throw, Holmgren. Missed it again. Rebound down to Christian Brown. You got to hurry. 8-7 seconds. Front court over to Westbrook. Left side Gordon for the win. Yeah! 2.8 seconds left. Coming back the other way. Williams from half court. Baked it no good at the horn. And the Denver Nuggets shock the Oklahoma City Thunder in game number one. Final tonight, 121 to 119.
NBA playoffs again. Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the Tolo Tuesday edition of Sean and RJ featuring Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Pepe back. We got Aiden running the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube, and two thrillers won by the road teams, the New York Knicks and the Denver Nuggets, go in and take the openers.
But the road teams are 3-0 in this round. 3-0 because the Pacers as well.
I'm rooting for Carlisle, man. Yeah, I have like strong rooting interest. I thought after the Luka thing, all right, I'll follow the Lakers. We'll see how far they get. But I've ended up with strong rooting interest in Carlisle. I hate the Boston Celtics and their fans, and I hate Joe Mazzulla, who tackled a referee yesterday and is rooting for Porzingis and Tatum to be bloodied on the floor. So I'm definitely rooting for the New York Knicks, and I might have a little Denver love, too.
I'm absolutely rooting for Denver because, you know, the Joker getting a second title with all his MVPs is really going to change a whole lot of conversations about, you know, top 10 players ever. I hate the Knicks, despise the Knicks, but I don't like the Celtics either, so that series is who could possibly be worse for me, but
and then
easily root for the Pacers.
The most fun of all is probably going to be Warriors-Wolves, yeah. And I think I'm on the Anthony Edwards train. I want Anthony Edwards to take the torch, whether LeBron wants him to have it or not.
Yeah, I wonder
but that was awesome last night.
Man, Minnesota's too close to Winnipeg. I feel like the people of Minneapolis are just like the people of Winnipeg, so I can't in good conscience.
Generating a lot of hate for Canadians who usually don't get it.
Who Winnipeg is?
Well, you are.
Oh, yeah. I love Canada. I love Canadians. But you know that I like Western Canada. That's central part of Canada. It's a weird spot, man. Yeah. It's a weird spot.
I thought you were gonna say pre-tariff.
Yeah, he's always said that.
No,
Western Canada. Look,
we
big Western Canada.
Look, the only way they're gonna win a cup is just to become another state. It's the only way they're going to win a cup.
Yeah, they got to just dissolve into us. I wonder if early on, I mean, obviously Boston and New York kind of flipped this yesterday, but I wonder if early on when you mentioned Timberwolves and Warriors coming up, if this is just going to be around maybe where we're going to see experience winning out. Like we've talked before about like, are you ready or you got to learn how to lose in the NBA? And we thought Oklahoma City learned how to lose last year, but I mean, they're heavy, heavy favorites over Denver. And yesterday, that looked like a team that was a little unprepared to deal with the kind of blows that a veteran team like Denver can give you.
New York was down 20. Jalen Brunson misses the bunny. Still don't know why it's called a bunny, but misses the bunny at the end of regulation. They settle it back down. Mikal Bridges, who brought back more than Luka with that New York trade, takes over in overtime, and they absolutely shock Boston. And then Aaron Gordon, Russell Westbrook is running free in the open court. There's an amazing clip of like the Denver studio announcers, like the Bally or Victory Plus Denver team going, no, 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 because Westbrook has it open in the free court. Passes to Aaron Gordon, who had the highlight reel dunk on Chet Holmgren last night, and Gordon hits the three for the thriller.
You know, in terms of the Boston Knicks, I don't even know. I can't even give the Knicks credit on the comeback. That was all Boston. It was a Boston miss choke job.
No, 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 no. It was all Jason Tatum and his 0 for 8 in the fourth quarter.
When you missed 45 threes. They didn't even try to take the air out of the ball in the fourth quarter. Like, it's like, you know, oh, we could sit there and take, you know, 20 seconds off the shot clock. No, 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 no. They are going to race down the floor and chuck up a three with like 14 seconds on the shot clock.
It was amazing how the offenses for both teams, it was just like, here, Jalen. It's like you have professional players everywhere on the floor in the second round of the playoffs. Here, Jalen, just do every single thing on every possession. And then Tatum, forget ball movement. I didn't even notice Porzingis at the end of that thing. Forget that Jaylen Brown could be as good as Tatum. Jason Tatum just decided to jack everything up. Like ball movement, offensive sets, running plays, getting others involved, all out the window, at least at the end of that game in the East.
This is the way he plays in the postseason. This is Jason Tatum when postseason comes out. This is the dude who was shooting like 32% and almost winning the NBA Finals MVP. There were people arguing for that last year with him basically making one out of every four shots. And this is...
Well, he didn't shut Luka down.
No, exactly. That's why Jaylen Brown got it. And because as Jason Kidd reminded us, Jaylen Brown is the best player on their team.
Now, Jason Tatum did average 31 and 11 and 5 in round one, Bobby.
That's round one. Like, I mean, we're talking about how does he show up whenever you're standing across from the Knicks, when you're standing across from Jalen Brunson.
That's the... Well, there's no... When you're standing across somebody, you're 6 inches taller than there's no such thing.
By the way, a bunny...
This is the NBA today. That's what this game was. This was a perfect microcosm of the NBA where you don't change... You just keep...
Which
chucking,
one?
The Boston... Well, really both of them, but mainly the Boston game. You're just chucking threes up. You're not changing your style. It's all about that. You could... Any team, the moment you go cold... You're cooked because you don't change your style up. You know, you don't try to take air out of the ball. You don't kick it underneath to get easy buckets. It's like, okay, you know, we're gonna keep shooting threes. That's the way the game is. There's no excuse to miss 45 three-pointers in a basketball game.
I mean, they're just gonna... It's efficiency run wild. Like, it's the whole little like, just put up as... It's the three true outcomes in baseball idea, like, applied to basketball.
But when you've got a lead like that, why are you taking 15 threes in the fourth quarter?
15 of 60 from three. The first team to attempt 60 three-pointers in a playoff game.
This is the kind of basketball, though, that, like, you've heard the old heads complaining about.
Yep.
And it's kind of the basketball that's been antithetical to what we've seen so far in the postseason, which has just been really, really good.
Is that an ethics thing?
Competitive. Yeah, that's what it is. When you see really, like, competitive... close basketball games. Like, this has been, you mentioned it yesterday, this has been just a really good playoff run for the NBA. And it, like, it doesn't help. I mean, that's a good, like, intriguing game. You get a 20-point comeback for New York. NBA probably loves that. But the idea of just blowing it because you're just chucking up so many bad shots.
Yeah. You found out what a bunny was?
AI says that it's the idea that you're so close to the rim that even a bunny could get to the hoop. They could bounce and get to the hoop.
Okay. So a wild night with Game 1 thrillers won on the road by both teams in the association. We welcome back Peyton Phillip Russell. A reminder, at 6:20, the Rangers hire. They look to the morning show for offensive answers. Friend of the show is taking over as the Rangers' new hitting coach. We'll bring you everything at 6:20. But Peyton Phillip Russell not serving on jury duty this morning, Pepe.
They did not like me, I guess. No, it's so annoying. I mean, like, you know, I dress up, I show up to this place, and I get turned away. I had khaki pants on, not nice shoes, nice dress shoes on, with a collared shirt. Like Bobby going to his brother's wedding. That's what I was wearing.
He would never wear khakis.
And, they turned me away. They said, no, it was canceled. I said, well, when? And apparently I didn't fill out this information. You got it. You know, no one tells you these things, right, unless you ask. But I didn't know to ask these questions. And you had to fill out this information. Then they would have emailed you and sent you a text and called you and said, oh, it's been canceled. Did not do that. So it backfired. And, I'm here today.
When you say no one tells you these things, I'm pretty sure whatever they were telling you should have registered for was probably on the summons, and that's why other people didn't show up.
Yep, it was, but all I saw was the date, and I was so like,
somebody
all right,
did tell you.
It was
you
probably on there, yeah. There was probably a number and, you know, fill out this information, but I see the date, my name, and then that's where I That's what I did.
Oh, your looks go. You're going to struggle, man.
Go. They got to come to go. This sounds a little fishy.
You think he made it up?
I think there's a 50% chance that this is worse than Wolchuk, who brought us, got on for not coming in to do the program after his jury duty. You just show up and you didn't do everything right. And they're like, go back home. Like,
there was no jury duty. That's what it said. You know, it's like,
because it can get canceled. I mean, it happens all the time.
If you don't have enough, like if they don't have enough cases on the docket, they will sometimes push to the following week. And then they've already got a jury pool for that. Or so like it's just basically not one to spend city resources on stuff or county resources on stuff. You can also get it canceled if there's only one jury trial that's on there. And then, oh, they settled before they even got to the jury pool. Like there's a couple different things that can cancel. But I think it's more likely, yeah, he just... Cowboys rookie minicamp was over the weekend. He's like, I'm not working Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, I sent you all the summons. Like, I didn't lie about the jury duty. It was there. I turned it into the bosses. That's what you had to do to get the day off.
Did you want to get picked?
Yeah, I want to do it once. I want to go through the experience. Now, it can backfire because my mom a couple years ago was on one. It was a four-day trial. So she kept having to go back day after day and was missing, you know, a whole week's worth of work. But, you know, so one day I would do, but not a whole week.
You're so full of
crap. You don't get a one-day jury trial.
Don't they pay you anyway here? Would they pay you or are you, like, hourly?
No, I'm salary.
All right. So they would have paid you that you would have had a week off just going to jury duty and making the money here. Don't act like you would have.
I think jury duty does.
Like jury duty pays you for, like, what, the parking?
Well, they pay you, like.
No, I'm saying, no, the company. The company. He wouldn't have missed out on his salary.
For, like, a week or something. Like, I think. I don't know what their policy is, but a lot of companies will just pay you for, like, a week of jury duty. And past that, they're like, well, I'll just stick with the $4 you're getting from the county.
877-881-1053. It's good that he's back because the Tolos asked for more Peyton, and you are getting more Peyton Russell this morning at 8:20.
Oh, baby.
On 105.3 The Fan. So stay tuned for that. We got the Red Zone every morning at 9:20. We have news in the National Football League. Choppy, you called them frauds a couple of days ago before the news came out that the Baltimore Ravens said goodbye to the Texas Longhorn, Justin Tucker.
Yep.
Done in Baltimore.
He is. He has been released. Now, they are saying it's a football decision. And it may very well be because he was not great last year. He was not good last year. So they can absolutely use that as an excuse and make the case that it was a football decision. And it's a convenient one for them. But
They drafted a kicker in the fifth.
And they drafted
that helps
a kicker.
Them even more.
Right. But they forced their own hand. They constantly said zero tolerance policy. So they kind of had to do this. To their credit, they were given it a chance to play out.
Yeah.
Right. And see what information came out on this. And I'm sure they've done an investigation into the matter. And so is the NFL. And so have the courts. And so is Tony Busby. And so is everybody else. But they do release Justin Tucker. And now they don't have to go to training camp with him and answer all those questions. They don't have to answer questions about why he's there. They don't have to answer questions about did they let the process play out. They can just move on and act like this never happened.
Which I don't know why you would lean into calling it a football decision. Like, to me, if you want to get any sort of heat off your organization, even if it is a football decision, like this was something that was I saw yesterday, kind of talked about. It was like they had to just take the free pass. Like, just go ahead and say, like, look, we felt it was best to move on. Like, you don't have to, like, outright say it was that. But to stop down and just go, guys, this is strictly a football decision. I don't think they're open up to any liability or anything else by saying, look, we just decided it was best to move on. We thought it was good to just get a separation and get a clean break.
Well, could he get a wrongful termination?
No, because, I mean, you can get cut for anything in the NFL.
There's no, I mean, I think they handled it fine. Yeah. I'm not going to look at them as, oh, my gosh, you weasels. They did draft a kicker in the fifth. So, like, they put the money where the mouth was. Did you scout any kickers?
No.
Spittle does.
Yeah, right? That's
all punters. The punters.
That's
the punters.
A swinging leg right there. Yep.
Tucker was cut with 3 years left on a four-year, $22 million contract extension that made him the league's highest-paid kicker at the time. They won't have to pay the $4.2 million salary in 2025. So, it's over for Justin Tucker in Baltimore. Now, let's see if anyone else picks him up.
Yeah, because he is...
Can first take to a Cowboys segment on Justin Tucker today, not realizing we got a Pro Bowler here?
He's toxic. And even if he had no allegations, he still had an awful year.
Mm-hmm.
He was bad.
Yeah, so it's not like, you know, if this was Justin Tucker from 2016, you know, now it's a real discussion about whether or not you bring him in because he was elite then, and then he would have this red flag all over, you know, hanging all over him. But, I mean, look, I mean, obviously the league is doing their investigation, but I mean, you can't even call him at this point.
I mean, it was pulling teeth to get the Ravens to release a declining Ray Rice, who they had to see a whole ass video before they cut a guy. So I can't imagine it's just a football decision, but that's what they're going to lean into.
He'll be a UFL coach in 10 years.
Like Mark Colombo.
Right, there you go.
The big news yesterday that happened with your Texas Rangers is connected to the morning show. Can our Hump Day buddy help save the Rangers offense? The hiring of Brett Boone next on Sean and RJ. Good morning, Metroplex. Entire squad back together again for the long term. Sean, RJ, Bobby, we got Peyton kind of back from jury duty. It's a Tolo Tuesday here on your home of the Texas Rangers. And the big news was made yesterday. Friend of the show that joins us on Wednesdays, Brett Boone, Odyssey podcast host, gets the call from Bruce Bochy, and he's here now to try to save the Rangers offense. Brett, how did it happen?
This completely came out of left field. It started, I went up to USC, my alma mater, I threw out a first pitch. I ran into an old buddy of mine, Michael Young, and he's with the Texas Rangers, and we just started talking, and you know, we had a 10-minute conversation, gave each other a hug. I said, give CY, which is Chris Young, my new boss, the president of the Rangers, and obviously the skipper, Bruce Bochy, I played under in 2000, but we've become, you know, have a really good friendship with him for a lot of years. And I get home, and the phone's ringing, and it's Bruce Bochy. And the first thing I thought is, this is weird. Mid-season, I know the Rangers have been scuffling with that offense. 2 years ago, they won the World Series and with the best offense in baseball, and now they're scuffling a little bit. I said, this is a weird time for Bruce to be calling. So I answered the phone as I do. And I said, Bruce, I know, can't get enough. You want to come back on the podcast? Because we've had Bruce on quite a few times. And he said, no, Booney, it's a different call. And he kind of ran it by me. And he said, why don't you think about it? And, you know, I talked to my wife and I talked to the people, you know, close to me. And it didn't take long. You know, it was one of those things where I didn't know where this journey's taking me, but if there's a guy to get back on the field for the first time in a long time for me, there's no reason. Bruce Bochy's number one on my list. I mean, he's number one.
How cool is this, RJ Choppy?
It's pretty darn cool. You know, it's not often that you have somebody who's been on your show for a couple of years now. He's now the hitting coach or a coach with the team that you guys that we cover. So that's really, really cool. And like he's first one of the first families of the sport. It's in their blood. There's nothing that Brett Boone doesn't know about baseball that he hasn't heard, you know, learned from his dad or his grandfather, uncles, brother, whatever, you know. So it's like the whole family is just immersed in this. This is like the Phillips family in football, the Bowdens, you know, Tommy and Terry and oh my God.
Jimmy.
Yeah. No. no, wrong one. But it's a fantastic family for baseball. And who knows? Like, who knows what this is going to do?
Right.
It's a hitting coach. It's about messaging. He's not going to sit there and break down and like change. He's not going to go there and tell everybody, hey, change your batting stance. That's not how this is going to work. This is about messaging.
Yeah. And I mean, look, he's not even their sole hitting coach, right? They've got like he's co-hitting coach, and then you've also got you've got the co-hitting coach, and then you've got an assistant hitting coach. So you got three people working on them hitting. So hopefully that'll be enough to iron out some of these issues. I love it because just from getting the chance to have him on here over the last 2 years, I think he's exactly the type of at least philosophy or view of the game that they need right now, which is they've got a guy who clearly is interested in analytics and is not just, oh, it's my old way. Like, he comes on here, he talks to us about spin rate and all the different StatCast measurements and stuff that he thinks are important.
He knows.
But he also is still, like, old school baseball guy.
Yeah.
Who just, like, believes in certain
Bochy. He believes in Bochy's approach.
Yeah, that's basically it. He's essentially the same sort of view of baseball as Bochy. And I think this is a good hire.
Three-time All-Star, two-time Silver Slugger Award winner, played for Boch on the 2000 Padres. As Jared Sandler points out, Brett hit more home runs in his career versus the Rangers than any other team. So he'll try to go ahead and flip that. Hey, being the home of the Rangers, we get the GM every single week. Chris Young, right there yesterday on the G-Bag Nation, explaining why Booney.
Well, it came together relatively quickly. It kind of started behind the scenes with conversations in the front office with me and Ross Fenstermaker and then Bruce Bochy, and really sitting down and talking about if we had to make a change, what are we missing? What are we looking for in the next coach, and what are we missing as a group right now? And as we kind of discussed those things with Boch, we were all on the same page, and we kind of came back to this idea that we need somebody who's going to bring some of the wisdom and experience that a former player has, somebody who can, you know, relate to these players, having walked in their shoes and done it, understands the ebbs and flows of the seasons and what a team mentality looks like, and somebody who has a little bit of edge to them, who can instill confidence and conviction and belief. And as we talk through the criteria, then we started listing candidates who may fit that. And Booney was one of those. And as we kind of reached out and he expressed interest, it materialized pretty quickly.
So I have a bunch of follow-up questions. How did Chris Young and the Rangers keep up with like Brett Boone's current outlook on the game? Did they have a lot of conversations behind the scenes? Were they actually monitoring or getting notes on the podcast? Like, how do they know that Brett Boone, who's not working in the sport officially on another staff like Jeff Bannister or someone, how do they know his views and that he's the guy?
I assume that it's, I doubt they listened to his podcast. Now Chris may have been on his podcast and Bochy may have been on the podcast.
Bochy's been on a lot.
Bochy's on a lot. But if Bochy's heard some of his philosophy, he would know exactly how to relay that.
Also, like this, you know, there's like all the sports is about relationships. You know somebody, you coach them, you worked with them, whatever. And then it's the simple Michael Young who works with the organization. I think they were looking for a voice, maybe trying to get a former player and as an old school kind of guy to match Bochy as well. I don't think they were sitting there, hey, let's check out his philosophy on his podcast. It may have more been, hey, I know him, I know what he's about.
My next follow up is, how does Brett go into this and start? Because he's keeping an eye on the entire sport. Is he just cramming film study on the flight to Boston? How does he start off with the advice to guys that he's not studying every single day and every single week?
I mean, I would guess right now he's probably leaning on,
I guess that's why you have a co-hitting coach.
I'm guessing he's probably leaning on those two other hitting coaches right now. Like, they're going to be doing a lot of the stuff while he gets his feet wet and figures out, all right, let me get to know these guys. Let me build relationships. Let me, you know, get my feet under me, essentially. I would imagine he's not doing a lot of coaching the first week that he's here.
He's probably doing scouting report stuff.
Yeah, so I would imagine a lot of the direct hands-on stuff they're getting is from the two other coaches, and then Boone is just kind of there. But this is exactly why relationships and connections matter, because he just laid it out for you. He played for Bochy. He's known Bochy for years. He became really good friends with Chris Young when they were teammates. He had Michael Young, who he said, I mean, that's the assistant to the general manager. And he's like, oh, Michael Young, a great friend of mine who I just happened to bump into. It is when you look at it, like, it kind of makes sense of just like, oh yeah, all these relationships are layered in the organization that would end up this way.
It's funny how it just all comes together out of first pitch night. It's funny. Like, it's just all out of nowhere.
And now the most important question, and shout out to the G-Bag Nation for remembering that Brett Boone is on this show every other hump day at 920, 105.3 The Fan. Is Brett Boone, newly hired Rangers hitting coach, still allowed to come on the morning show every other week?
Well, given that you guys that they cover, the Fan covers the Rangers, I see no reason why he can't continue at least jumping on the Fan. And regarding the podcast, I kind of leave it to him. He's built a very good business with this podcast. I think it's very insightful. I think it just exudes the passion for the game that he has. It's one of the things that really attracted us to him in these conversations. And, certainly we'd like to explore ways for him to be able to continue it in some capacity while knowing that his primary responsibilities with the team are going to be our players and helping these guys win baseball games. And so I think it's going to be a time commitment on his end that's going to be a little difficult to balance. But if there's a way to do some of it, we're open-minded to it.
Chris Young is so smooth.
Maybe we can finally get a Ranger on the morning show.
Maybe. He did. I texted him yesterday. He did say, talk soon. He said, talk soon.
What did you text him?
Just congrats, you know, from all of us.
Yeah. And I mean, what? He said, talk soon. We thought we were going to get him on this week.
Yeah.
What happened, Pepe? He was texting you, trying to set things up?
No, so he goes through another guy with Odyssey. So I email him, and then he contacts Brett. And I've texted Brett sometimes before when I can't get a hold of the other guy. But, yeah, he emailed me yesterday afternoon. I was like, hey, are we doing Wednesday with Brett? And so I was
Yesterday afternoon? He hit you up?
Not Brett, but...
Yeah,
but
the guy for Brett to come on.
Yeah. He's like, hey, when... Because we skipped Brett a couple weeks ago because of the draft. So they're trying to get back on schedule every other week. So we had him on last week. He wanted to try to do this week, and then we get every other week to go on. Hmm. And then so I had emailed him back after the news broke and was like, hey, I know he just got hired as hitting coach, but we'd love to have him on. And then I haven't heard anything.
The part he's not telling you is that he replied late to that email. It initially said, hey, can we get him on Monday morning? And Peyton was at jury duty, and he missed it.
Ah.
I said, yeah, sorry, I don't put guests when I'm off. So
Did they ask for Monday morning?
No. It was Monday afternoon, but they wanted Wednesday.
Well, that's interesting that they still wanted to try to come on tomorrow.
I mean, that'd be great. It'd be fantastic. You know, it'd be the Dodgers' first game back as you're back on the grind.
East Coast time,
yep, they're in Boston. So it'd be fantastic. And then, you know, obviously with the podcast... these podcasts, they're not, some of them, I guess, some are 3 hours long, but most of them are like an hour long. I mean, you have a 3 hour game at 7 o'clock at night. You get to the ballpark maybe at noon. You've got time. There's plenty of time to kick out an hour and, you know, do your podcast.
Not with this offense. This offense needs work. But I will say,
and not with Chris Young either.
You mentioned East Coast time. I will say, Brett Boone deserves a ton of credit for being the best ever about just coming on regardless of what time zone he's in.
That dude
would show up in Hawaii, like it's dark out, and he's like, my wife's sleeping on the other side of this door. I'm going to have to be quiet.
I'm in the deer blind right now. And you can hear the gravelly voice, you know? And yeah, he was a trooper.
It didn't matter. Whatever time it was for us, he's like, yeah, I'll be on. It may be four where I'm at, but I'll come on because that's just how tight we are with him.
Yeah, yeah, cool dude. I would DM him. I didn't ask for the phone number like Chop. But I would DM him during the World Series or the playoffs and shoot messages back and forth. And yesterday I just sent him a hell yeah. And he wrote back with like the hands up prayer emoji. So hopefully we can get him on tomorrow. And now we need the offense to start clicking so we can take all the credit.
Got
to
click. That's the key. You know, this because otherwise this is just another name.
Or new personnel like new Evan personnel. Carter. With the news they came out. The other day it was Donnie Ecker and Leody Taveras. And yesterday we get Brett Boone and Evan Carter, CY, announcing that they are recalling him. Quote, he's passed all the tests that we have wanted to see. We're excited about where Evan is, Bobby.
Yeah, we were talking about this last week, that Evan Carter had, despite struggling early, had gotten on base every single game. And then we went and jinxed it because literally the day after saying that, I think he went 3 games in a row without getting on base. So we kind of jinxed that a little bit. But, yeah, you're talking about he's only hitting .221 right now in AAA Round Rock. But
league average.
It's still the Evan Carter approach. He's over 100 points higher on his on-base percentage. He started hitting the ball harder. He's had a few home runs in the last couple weeks and still stealing bases. So, I mean, his approach looks sound. It's just the fact that he's not striking out a ton. I think that, yeah, when you hear him talking about that, when you hear Chris Young talking about him passing every test, it's that his approach is strong and looks more like the Evan Carter we know.
Rangers, Red Sox, 5:45, first pitch.
Baby.
Later on today.
Yeah, it'll be over by 7:30.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan, your home for the Texas Rangers. How Jelly Roll may get Bobby beat up in Fort Worth tonight. Next on Sean and RJ. Be careful driving out there. For the first time I can remember, I got redirected off of 30 to 635 to get back on 30 this morning as the rain started yesterday, right after I had all the weeds killed in my yard. So I think about $300 of weed killer spray right down the drain as it started sprinkling and raining within an hour. It's supposed to set for like 6 hours, I'm told. RJ, got an awesome Tolo helping me out with the treatment. And then it just continued raining until this morning when I was almost late to work.
Yeah, it. You do want it to set. Did you use a? I don't know. What you
used? With all due respect, I don't think I could take lawn advice from you anymore.
My lawn looks legit right now.
Finally, you got it.
Did you get the body off the. I want you to freeze the grass.
Stop. I want you to freeze frame RJ's face right there. Angry RJ face comes out very rarely, but when I just said that about his lawn. Oh, he's got that lip curl.
How dare about you?
Stonehenge underneath. You got homeless people laying in the front yard. How can the lawn?
Well, hang on. What is the homeless people about it? Stonehenge. That was yes. That's
San Francisco yard.
Yeah, I got those dug up. But even the lawn before that looked good. It was that one spot because of the stones underneath. That's not my fault. See, I only take responsibility for things that are my fault. Uh-huh. I don't take responsibility for things that are other people's faults. That was the builder's fault.
Yeah.
But no, the lawn looks great. Super, super green. Very dark. Get a good dark green going right now. Even the neighbors have been commenting on how good the lawn looks.
Some of them are even sleeping on your lawn. It's
mowing
so
it three times a week. Mowing it three times a week now. Oh, baby.
Shout out to Tolo Jeremy. But then you felt inconsistent rain this morning driving in.
Yeah, that was... I've never... I looked at the radar. It looked like it was... pretty much widespread driving in, but it was like I'd be driving and be pouring for 15 seconds. It's like, oh, okay, it's done now. And then it'd be pouring for like 30 seconds again. So I have no idea what was up with like the little spotty showers when we were driving it, but it was like heavy downpours and then absolutely nothing.
What are these bags of goodies and treats that we have sitting before us here?
That is courtesy of Justin and Emily Pate, the charity auction dinner with Jared Sandler last couple years, I believe. And So I bought this house, and I immediately knew, okay, it needed some work done. And we had talked about with Justin and Emily over the dinners over the last couple of years that they have a renovation project. They own that. And so I was like, all right, if I need something done, I'm going to hit up my man Justin. And I did, and he got his guys out there and knocked out a shower.
I got to say, that freaking shower looks
incredible. It's awesome,
dude. It's so legit.
Whoa, did they go over the design? Did Mac pick the design, or was this from Emily? Like... oh, my goodness, the before and after. I was a little bit jealous.
Yeah, a combination of both. Mackenzie and I had picked out like tile that we wanted, like somewhat of a design. You know, we wanted the gold shower head, sliding door. And then Emily had sent us pictures about, you know, okay, what about this design and this way? Because there's certain ways where you can have it.
Inspo pick.
And then, you know, we had the little bench in the side there with the niches in there as well.
Oh, you got a bench in there?
Oh, yeah. We got a bench.
Oh, you know, literally.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
There's only two reasons you get that. One of them is you can't stand up anymore. The other is Peyton's reason.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I do put the foot on the bench.
To scrub.
Yeah, to do the you guys to wash
make
the
it
bottom
easier,
of your feet.
A lot easier.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Like once you get over the age of like 25 and your balance is all like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't. I'm not balancing. Not that you can't. I'm just not balancing in the shower anymore.
Hold up that tray for the fan cam.
Look at this.
This is the real masterpiece. This
That's from Emily.
Yeah, we know.
Well, no, I was telling the listeners.
We were here before you. She's been making cakes for us for a while.
Look at this. Look at this beauty.
This coffee cake, I would put up there in the running of the best dessert. If you want to call it a dessert, I don't know. That thing could be sold, and they could sell the construction business. Oh, Jake Reitman's checking that right now. Reitman, you got to try a piece of this in the commercial break. I think it's flawless. I think it's a flawless piece of baked good.
I think I would pay $29.99 for this in a store.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's probably the max I would go.
That's the highest I would go.
Yeah.
I think you could get $29.99 for this.
You've talked about spending more though, because you keep threatening to pay a food scientist to reverse engineer it for you.
Listen,
and tell you what's in it.
I already tasted something that was in this.
Dude.
All right, I know something that's in this.
It is so freaking good.
Yeah.
So, Emily, let us put you out there. Just go ahead and start selling it up. Set up the little bake stand.
She also, when we went to the Sandler dinner, she made it like another dessert, like this peanut butter pie. I think Peyton would like inhale that thing. Peyton thought that was one of the best things he had ever eaten.
That was really good.
So the Pate's doing shower work, doing oven work, crushing it. Thank you to Justin and Emily for getting it done. But man, that shower
looks good.
Looks very good.
I almost want Aiden to put it on the fan cam. I almost want a before and after. That's how impressed I was with the way that thing looked.
Dude, they were quick too. I mean, like he had his guys over there at 9 a.m. because I, you know, with our, you know, smart house, basically, I can let him in the house.
Our smart house.
No, we have a lock on there.
The locks for the door.
Yeah, we have a lock. Well, actually, the previous owner left it there, so we just, you know, download the app, and so we were able to let them in. So he had his guys over there from 9 to 5 working, but they were in and out in like 7 or 8 days.
So if I can open my front door off my phone courtesy of DFW security, does that mean I have a smart home?
It does.
Yeah, it does. I thought I have to control the lights inside, and I need like 3 or 4 more things, I feel like, to qualify as a smart home.
It's a form of a smart home.
Automatic lock.
It's an intelligent home.
It's an intelligent home.
Okay.
It's a homeschool home.
It's a homeschool home. It's got a high school graduation home. All right. Then you get
the
lights.
What you compare Mesquite and Garland to yesterday.
That's right.
What'd you say?
What was it? It was
Mesquite's Garland with a GED. Damn.
It's amazing how quickly Peyton's becoming Chop, though. With just the like, he's learning the ways of asking for free stuff.
I think he's become more arrogant than Choppy. Like this first 47 minutes, pretty arrogant.
You remember when he did his song when he hosted? He took side swipes at us, and then meanwhile he goes like, "Choppy, you know I love you." What is that?
All right, tonight, Oliberto could be in physical harm. I know many people just fist pumped in their car as.
Real quick, one thing, Peyton. People are asking, please tell me that you changed the code on the locks.
Yes.
So your previous owners can't just walk into your house.
That was the first thing we did, yes. We changed it out.
Yes, 105.3. Yeah. But tonight, Roberto in Fort Worth.
Yep, they got Jelly Roll and Friends. I guess he's done this a couple years now. Or this is either the second or third year that he's done it. But he comes into town, he goes to Billy Bob's, and then he does like a concert where... The week before they announce all the pop-up artists. So this will be the big one that's going to be there with him tonight is Lainey Wilson.
Whoa!
So Lainey Wilson will be in town and Jelly Roll will be
performing. Said maybe Shaboozy would pop in.
There's been buzz. People are wondering if Shaboozy's going to pop in. He came in last year as a surprise. And so people are just, there's some other artists they think could pop up as a surprise.
I was bringing this up to Amanda. I was like, she's like, he's going to Jelly Roll. They're going to Jelly Roll. She's like, Post Malone has been with him a couple of times. So maybe a Post Malone pop
so
in.
Post is here this weekend, I think, yeah. And Jelly Roll is at that show. Like they're going to be performing together there. And
I'll
so
be there.
You could have the payback.
You know, the other thing my wife said to me was, "What type of money are they rolling with at that Russell residence?" She said that when I was bringing up the shower renovation.
The new shower.
So you're going this weekend to that?
Yes. Yeah, I got tickets through Kim here at Odyssey, so we'll be going there Friday.
Coming a little player.
Yeah.
I'm learning from the game.
No, but it is. I'm excited about it. The problem is there are no seats. There are no tables. There's nothing else. They're pulling all the tables out of the main area. And so you've got pit tickets and you've got GA seats. So, I mean, it's all standing room. It's all standing room only, which is fine if you're fine losing your spot. Like to just say, hey, I'm not going to stand in this one spot for the next 4 hours. This is not going to be like going to AT&T Stadium and taking the party deck spot and then just being like, well, I guess I'm here the rest of the day and can't go to the bathroom or anything. No, Kristen thinks, oh, yeah, we can leave. And we'll just walk right back through the crowd because you're going to hold my spot for me.
Oh, boy.
And this is going to... Last time we were at Billy Bob's...
What does holding that spot mean? Like, paint the picture for me physically. Are you supposed to widen your stance? Are you supposed to stick the elbow out? Are you supposed to put the drink where she has vacated?
Have you seen the the wings at Billy Bob's?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got those little platforms. So she'll stand up there. And then what she wants is she'll usually go to the edge of wherever that platform ends so that she's got the wall to bracket her. And then I'll stand on this side. And if she walks away, I'm supposed to widen out and like slide my hand over with her like drinks or whatever. And she's like, I'll do it for you because I get the sciatic thing. I can't stand for like 4 straight hours without like my leg going numb. So I got to start walking around. And so Kristen was like, well, I'll do it for you. I was like, yeah, because you have no problem telling people like, beat it. This is my spot.
Yeah.
I have a massive problem with if you are in a venue like this for general admission, I think when you walk away, you've lost it.
Yeah. It's like party pass at a Cowboys game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you're standing on that ledge, right? Or the little table, and then you leave. But someone's there.
she is just going to have to be aggressive, or you are, force your way back in. And once you're back in, the whole crowd just sort of like disperses by inches.
Well, so, and that's the thing is that in a normal Billy Bob show, this is tense when she does this.
Yeah.
This is going to be jelly roll. Like the GA seats are like $250 a pop.
Yeah.
So you're talking about, it's going to be crammed in there.
Wow.
And if she's going to walk away, she's going to have to like push people out of the way to come back from the bathroom and then go like, yeah, that's my spot. I don't know how that's going to go. She almost got us in a fight last time at Billy Bob's.
So what time are you planning on getting there to like position?
So that's the problem. The doors open at like 5:30, I think. And so I don't even know. I think the concert starts at like 7, but it opens at like 5:30. And so
Kristen is an early bird too. Like we went to the Ranger Suite and she's like, I've been here 30 minutes because they're not restocking this buffet.
No.
And I was like, oh, so
she was going to dive into those drinks in that buffet.
Yes.
And saving the hot dog water for us.
This will I'm not looking forward to essentially what I would imagine are going to be 8 hours of standing in a spot.
So
seven,
are you
8 hours.
Thinking 5:15?
Oh no, I think we're probably gonna get there at like 4:30.
Oh boy.
Because she's not just gonna wanna get there when the doors open. In fact, she probably think an hour before the doors open, we're still gonna be way behind because it's all general admission. Everybody's gonna have the same idea, which they probably are, but I mean to me, she's not gonna get a platform spot unless we're there at like 1. And I'm not going at 1.
Franklin, injury attorneys, fan text 877-881-1053. You gotta meet the people around you, they help hold it down.
That's what she does
until you get back. You're going to have to do it for them at some point, too, like the other people around you. Girls think differently in these situations. Bobby, I'm with you. How do you want me to save air? Have none of you been to a rock concert? Okay, a mosh pit's totally different. That's totally different. There's no. You're moving around. You're all over the place. You're not stationary like that.
I didn't plan on going to this. I got her the tickets. I was like, you can take somebody. And she's like, no, I want you to go. And so it's like,
sounds fun.
I mean, it is going to be fun. Billy Bob's is a great venue. I love Billy Bob's. Billy Bob's, like I say, with Kristen, is not always fun. There's a lot of things
not fun with you, too.
There's a high probability of a fight is the problem.
They also, you know, when they take the tables away, it changes the dynamic of Billy Bob's a lot.
She was literally like elbowing some woman in the ribs, like out of her spot. She's like, nope, there's no room here. I'm just kind of subtly trying to like turn and push. It was bad.
All right, there it is. Bobby and the missus in Fort Worth tonight at Billy Bob's. If you see him, try to go ahead and defend him. Jalen Brunson is going to be the greatest New York Knick ever. Ouch for Mavs fans. And double ouch, we now have Luka's future plans. Crazy night of the NBA playoffs. We talk about it all and a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway next.